that you're not wasting your time. You actually get something from it. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today, especially about through the scripture in Exodus where Moses is at the burning bush. And I ask that you bless us with a word for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look at the three miracle signs when Moses was equipped for Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible is our theme for Vacation Bible School. And you talk about the number one guy who had a Mission Impossible. It was Moses. I've always envisioned that when God got done talking to him, he says, this bush will explode in 30 seconds. I don't know why, but anyway, in that encounter, let's read chapter 3, verses 13 to 15 first. This is part of that. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Well, actually, in this discussion that took place at the burning bush, Moses said, he says, who am I? You want me to do this kind of thing? And I'm an old man. What do you want me to do? And then there's this lengthy lecture on the meaning of God. I am who I am. The third question Moses asked has to do with the miracle signs that he got. Moses said to God, now, people aren't going to believe me or listen to my voice. Why should they? And so the Lord gives him three signs. The first sign is the rod that is cast upon the ground. It becomes a serpent, which when you pick it up, then it becomes a rod again. The second sign is Moses, when he puts his hand in his robe, he pulls it out, and it's all leprous and everything. He puts it back in, and then it's okay. And the third sign has to do with the water of the Nile River, pouring it out on the dry ground. It becomes like blood and would foul the drinking water of the Nile River. But that sign would only take place when he went to Egypt. Now, we could talk about this from a Bible study standpoint and say, you know, I get done talking about this. Okay, we're going to take a quiz now. What are the three signs? And boy, didn't we have a good Bible study. So we have a thrilling Bible study. But there's more to it than that. I want to read with me Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. Then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and take it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Now, when I read this, now you know I'm a movie buff, I always think about the scene in Oh God where John Denver gets out of the shower and God appears to him.
Not what you expected, huh?
John Bush. Warner Brothers.
Oh God. I thought you didn't believe in me.
That's just an expression.
I'm more than that. I want you to spread the word. There I am. I exist.
Change the weather.
A little rain?
Yeah, a small shower.
One small shower, you got it.
It's not raining outside. Gee, it's just in here.
This is fantastic.
Thank you.
Want to try a little harder to get the word out?
Well, I'll give another shot.
That's my boy.
Oh, God.
Now, I always think about that when Moses says, wait a minute, They're not going to buy into this. They're not going to believe me. What are my credentials? And like, oh, God, he hands him that card that says God on it. And he says, show him this. He says, gee, Lord, this is all great and everything, but you know what? I thought you'd give me a badge or something. So Moses says, sent from God, staff, world deliverer. Moses is asking, what are my credentials that I might indeed be sent? Because nobody's going to buy into this program. And the Lord says, now, what do you have in your hand? And he says, well, it's a rod. And God says, well, throw it down. And he throws it down and it turns into a snake. And Moses takes off and hides behind a rock. Moses sent for God. I mean, he's sitting back there, and I can just say, all I need is a badge. I don't need a snake. This is a man who is 80 years old now. He gets up every morning, you know, and the first thing he hears is, meh. And you know what the first thought that Moses had every morning? I better watch where I'm walking. I also thought about that scene in Indiana Jones and the temple, not the Temple of Doom, and Raiders of the Lost Ark, where he runs into snakes.
Snakes.
Asps. Very dangerous. You go first.
And I think about it. Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes? About that time, you know, I hate snakes. Moses is hiding behind a rock, and he's probably having a conversation with himself. I just wanted a bath. I just wanted a badge. The God of my fathers. What does he do? He gives me snakes. About this time, God speaks out of the bush. And he says, put out your hand and take it by the tail. And I know that Moses' eyes probably got real big about that time. And I think it's about time that Moses would have decided that he really did need an associate deliverer like his brother Aaron to come along. A guy that Moses can say, I'll be the thrower downer. You be the picker upper. If he's God, he ought to know that when you pick up one of these babies, you don't want to pick it up by the tail because it'll turn around and bite you. And so he does it. But he does that. Now, there's more to this than just scaring the wits out of a 80-year-old stammering shepherd. There's something about a shepherd's rod. It was a weapon that each shepherd's whittles, they fashion their own, kind of like a lightsaber. They would spend long hours practicing with it, probably use it like a billy club or a nightstick at times. They probably learned how to throw the thing with amazing speed and accuracy. It was the main weapon of defense for both the shepherd and the sheep. The rod became an extension of the arm of the owner. It stood as a symbol of strength, power, authority in any given situation. The rod is what the shepherd relied on to safeguard both himself and his flock. It was also the instrument that he used to discipline and correct wayward sheep at times by smacking them up from the side of the head or something like that if they were going the wrong way. This sign is an expression of God saying something to Moses. If you want a sign, Moses, I'm going to give you the sign of Egypt's God. You know, in the Indiana Jones cut there, they're down in Egypt. And Egypt, if you do a study on it, they have serpents everywhere, not just on the floor of that tomb, but they have them everywhere. They're on their statues, they're on their murals, they have them on a crown. The serpent was emblazoned on many things because one of their most powerful gods was a serpent god. When Moses threw down that rod, it became a serpent or a snake. And God was saying through this sign, he was saying, now Moses, the very thing that you fled from down in Egypt, Pharaoh's authority and power, which is represented in a snake, God, will come under your authority and power through me. And when he picked it up, that was a sign of that. He said, I'm going to bring Pharaoh's authority and power to such a point that you will be able to take it by the hand yourself and control it. And God is effectively saying to Moses through this sign of the rod, what has been the snare and the trap of the adversary? What has been the authority that has bound up your people for 400 years will come under the authority of a shepherd. Because this world ultimately is not going to be ruled by the scepter of a tyrant, but it's going to be ruled by the staff of a shepherd. And Lord says to Moses, I'm going to take that and work it in you. So he has this first sign of the staff or the rod that's turned into a snake, and he picks it up. Read with me verses 6 to 8. That's the second one. Again the Lord said to him, put your hand into your bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, as white as snow. Then God said, put your hand back into your bosom. So he put his hand back into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you, God said, or heed the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. Now this second sign. Put your hand in your cloak. Bring it out. And when he did, Moses was leprous. I believe it has a twofold meaning. I think it was the Lord showing Moses, first, anyone who is going to be a leader of God's people is this. There comes a time when you recognize your own vulnerability to the bondage of the flesh, that you are subject to this world and its flesh. Now, this is a miracle sign, but personally I see it more than just a demonstration of miracle power. I don't think it's a matter of just saying, well, look here. This is a little trick I learned, God taught me. Leprosy. How do you like these apples? I think it's more than that. Those of us who want to be fashioned under the Lord's touch, if we want to become agents of His, it's kind of like this Mission Impossible for Vacation Bible School. If you want to become an agent of His, God wants to make a Moses out of you, a person who delivers other people out of this world's bondage into the kingdom of heaven, then we need to recognize the basic things that will make you as powerful in ministry as the life of Jesus in ourselves and in other people, in our families. That one basic thing is this. Be willing, without fear, to recognize that we too are flesh and blood and vulnerable. I don't know of anything that has been more painful to me in the history of my time in ministry than watching some people who get into leadership in the body of Christ. And what happens is they quit growing, spiritually speaking. They think that they have arrived and they've got it all together, and all it is a matter of pride in them, and they think they've got it all together. People in leadership who refuse to acknowledge that they have needs, that they are human beings, that they are frail, that they are imperfect from the standpoint that they have not had all the outworking of God's in their life, where they get to that place where they think, I don't know if I can learn anymore. I'm just full of myself. Or they face crises in their lives just like everybody else. You know, I've gone through times myself when I don't think about my weakness, my flesh, but the last couple of months, hey, it's been brought to my attention once again, painfully. But it needs to be recognized in all facets of leadership and positions in our lives. Workers in the church, people who feel that they have some kind of, pretended accomplishment in their life, that they have risen above some way and they're a little bit better than other people, and they think to themselves, you know, I got it all together. I don't need to open the book anymore. There's nothing that the preacher can teach me anymore. There's nothing that I can learn. I'm an elder. I'm a deacon. I'm the minister of the church. And you can run into this thing and says, I've got it all together. It's true. Sometimes we just need to get down on our knees and pray, Lord, just save me from myself. And the leprosy is a sign and a symbol of our humanity. That we are truly subject to that which comes our way. We are not God. We are flesh and blood. But it is through the flesh and blood that God works in people. You see, the second thing about the leprosy is that God was saying to Moses, don't hide your humanity. Show it. It's your point of identification with all the people in the first place. You need to enter into and use your own humanity to be with the people, because it's in the weakness of your flesh that you can identify with them on an equal basis. And in fact, that's what God did for us through Jesus. Read with me Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. Speaking of Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking a form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. He became like us. He became human, flesh and blood, with all its frailties. Read with me Hebrews 2, 14 and 17 and 18. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same nature. Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make expiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered and been tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. God says to Moses through this sign, don't hide your humanity. It's your point of identification with the people. God says that to us as well. So God is saying to Moses specifically, but us as well, if we want to be agents of his in terms of helping bring salvation to people around us, to ministering to people around us. Moses, you may be leading 2 million people, but you still have flesh just like they do. And he said, put it back in. And what he does, he delivers him from the bondage and the limitations of the flesh. And he's saying to Moses, your flesh is your strength and your weakness. And it's a miracle sign that has a powerful message. Read with me Exodus 4:9 for the third sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or heed your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it upon the dry ground. And the water which you shall take from the Nile will become blood upon the dry ground. The third sign that God gave to Moses is the pouring out of the water. Now, he can't do this until he gets to Egypt because it has to be water from the Nile. So this is an on-site miracle. It's important because the Nile River is the lifeblood of Egypt. If you take the Nile out of Egypt, Egypt dries up and blows away. It becomes desert. That's all it is. The barges and boats that run on the waters of the Nile, that's the enterprise of Egypt. That's the economy of Egypt. Literally, it rides on the surface of this river. The agricultural economy of Egypt depends upon its irrigation from the Nile River. The Nile is also a roadway and a channel of communication for the nation of Egypt as you go up and down it. So if you take away the waterway in terms of the economy, in terms of communication and agriculture, and has to do with the flooding and irrigation, there's nothing left. And God says, Moses, when you come to Egypt, I'm going to give you another sign. You take the waters of the Nile, the waters of man's enterprise of the greatest nation in the world, and you will take man's economic system and you will dump it out, and it will become the symbol of my system of economics, which has to do with my blood, my spirit. And he's saying to Moses, I do not function the same way that you do, that people do. And it's wisdom to know that. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Man has his way of wheeling and dealing, and boy, we do it. But I don't work that way. And so God has his instrument of deliverance, his agent. It's not as man would work it. God does not function like we do. And you talk about mission impossible. Moses has it. He's supposed to go to the greatest nation in the world and deliver his people. And the third sign is, the message is that by shed blood and my spirit, things will be accomplished. Now, I want to move this over into our lives a little bit more by just kind of pointing out the parallels that have to do with us. And they're things that nobody really thinks about. The Trinity is represented in these three signs. The three manifestations of God are present here as well. The rod is a representative of authority, power, and strength. It represents God as Creator, Almighty, as Father, all-powerful, and authority. The leprosy is the sign of the flesh. God not only pointing about our weakness in the flesh, but that we need to identify with other people's weaknesses as well. And God identifies himself with us. When the Word became flesh, God identified with us in Jesus. The sign of the water turning to blood is the life flow of the Holy Spirit. And in that sign, we see how the action of God's Spirit overcomes this world. Anybody knows that a body can look, well, it looks like a body, but without blood moving through it, it's not alive. The body of Christ, church, can look like the body of Christ. And I've been in plenty of churches, and some of them are as dead as a doornail. And you know why? Because the Spirit of God is not moving through them. The lifeblood is not there. They have the body of a church, but they don't have the Spirit that goes with it. And it's true of us as well. We may have Jesus in name, but we may not have any power or life in him because we don't have the Spirit of God moving through us. So the three signs represent God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But they also represent something for us personally as well. The rod of authority for our living is the Bible. That's the authority in your life or our life as a church. And when we stretch forth our hand to do work and to work miracles, we better have that word with us. Because without that, we do not have the rod of authority. All we have is our hand. And the sign of leprosy is a sign for us to let us know that it's just our humanness, and we need to humble ourselves before God and never think of ourselves better than we are or better than other churches, but touch their lives with the same kind of flesh that they have. But you got to have the rod of authority, which is the Bible, in your heart and your mind if you want to get it. The third thing is the lifeblood, life flow. Holy Spirit working through us impacts the world around us. The Holy Spirit at work in us and through us, our spirits, impacts the world that we touch with our lives as a church. If we don't have the Holy Spirit in us as a church or as individuals, we're nothing but a dead body. We might be the body of Christ, but we don't have the Spirit that goes with it. So I hope you see the miracle signs that are presented to Moses. He had a mission impossible. And I'm kind of picked up that theme from our vacation Bible school that's coming up. I hope you see the signs. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would, in fact, help us to take those signs that you give to us. The rod of our authority in terms of your word. The flesh and blood that we are, and to always recognize that truth. And also to have your life-giving spirit within us so that we can give it to others. In Jesus' name, amen.